Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Welcome once again. In fact, I probably should congratulate you because people who watch here are serious followers of the Lord. You know, sermonettes are for Christianettes, right? But you get the whole thing here. And so welcome again. And our subject today is the joy of being partakers. For the scripture says, for we are partakers with Christ. So that's our subject. And what, as we get started, I want to begin with, though, that obviously there are some things we should not never partake of, because if we do, they are damaging to us, right? And so let's take a look at some of the things that the scripture says that you do not want to partake of because they have damaging consequences to them. Let's take a look at the screen. The damage, first of all, is if we become partakers with the sins of other people. We don't want to go there. Look at this. Here's the scripture. Neither be a partaker of other men's sins. And the alternative to that is keep yourself pure. Don't go where they go. Don't do what they do. You do not want to be a partaker with other men's sins. In fact, there's a very important scripture. Thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil. Look at it. Don't follow the multitude. And so question, of course, is why is that advice so pertinent and important to us? That used to be, when I was a kid, they would say, well, everybody's doing it. That was the big argument. Everybody's doing it. And I think that even though I was a kid a long time ago, the things have not really changed very much today, and that we still have this issues. But let's look at some more details on this. So this scripture is now going to give us some detail of not partaking in someone else's sin. So it starts to name some. Fornication, the word from which is derived from the word porneo, from which we get pornograph. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Now watch here. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but instead we should be living in a thanksgiving condition. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. They would not accept the mechanism by which they could get in the kingdom of God. They insisted on keeping their own sins. Now, here comes the rest of the scripture. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because everybody's going to talk you into their sin, right? For because of these things that have been in the list, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Now here's the scripture. Be not ye therefore no partaking. Don't partake with them whatsoever. In fact, it ends with this. Because once upon a time, you and I alike were in darkness. But now we are light in the Lord. And so now we walk differently. We walk as the children of God. Partaking with sins, especially when they're induced by others. I don't know why it is, but when people are doing some sin, they want everybody else to do the same sin. They're almost like what you call, you know, like evangelistic about it. Let's take a look at another verse here. Because you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you, you saw a thief and you consented. And look at this. And you have been partaker with not just the thief, but with the adulterers. Oh my goodness. This is big trouble. By the way, just a side comment. talking about breaking the laws and not wanting punishment for laws. I want you to catch this and write it in your notes. This is really important. A law without a penalty is merely advice. A law without a penalty is merely advice. So we must be careful not to side with the evildoers, not partake of them, whether it be the thief or the adulterer, no matter which one. Now, here's the second damaging partaking, and here's the way the scripture puts it. It's partaking by endorsing Christ deniers, Christ rejectors, Christ antichrists, for impact. Watch now. So whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, look at this, that person has not God. Okay? And watch here now. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now watch this, because if someone come to you, wants to come into your home, etc., and brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and don't bid him Godspeed. Wow. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, look at this now, is a partaker of his evil deeds. We can never be promoters and wishful thinking for the betterment of those who deny Christ. Here's Godspeed means you can't wish them good fortune or say bon voyage or fare thee well because they are antichrist, and because of that they are in fact as rejectors. We become partakers with them if we give encouragement to their antichrist positions and posture. There's only one way to sort this out, and here it is. That evil partaking can only be terminated by separating ourselves from one kind of partaking and separating ourselves to another kind. Okay? So here's a scripture that affirms this. I heard a voice, another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. This is a separation thing, right? That ye be not partakers of her sins. And look at this. And not only will you become partakers of her sins, but you would receive the plagues. Come out of her. You've got to separate from partaking in those things that lead to damage. For her sins have reached heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And so it's important for us to understand that the only way to get rid of partaking of evil of others and following the multitude is there has to be a separation. And that simply means this. There must be a partaking, a choice rather, of which side am I going to partake from? Am I going to partake of the things in my life that are damaging, or am I going to partake of things that are blessing? You cannot do both. Look at the words of Jesus with me. You cannot, watch this, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't go both ways at the same time. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. So this is important to understand, that a choice must be made. And my encouragement, of course, to you is to make the right choice. From now on, I'm not going to partake of sins, the sins of others. I'm not going to encourage antichrist promoters. I'm going to make a decision. A lifetime decision. I'm going to make a decision right now to partake of something different than what's at the table of the devil. So here we go. Because our subject now is really the joy, watch here now, the joy of being partakers. So what's the first joy? The first joy is that you can be a partaker of the gospel. So Paul said this, I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker therefore with you. God wants you to partake of the gospel. Now, let me tell you something. There's no more important message in all of your life than the gospel. Responding to the gospel changes everything. You get forgiveness. You get cleansing. You get healing. You get reinstatement. Can you imagine this? Eternal life. And you get to learn how to live right now properly, effectively, successfully in this life. So I want to encourage you to go to our website, nothingbutthetruth.org, and make sure you view this 28-minute teaching on how to know you are a genuine Christian. Nothing can be more important than authenticity, responding genuine to the gospel, which has been called, properly so, real good news. And you want to partake of that. Yeah. Let me give you one more thought about that. The scripture talks about drawing from the wells of salvation. This gospel, it's not shallow, weak, or anemic. It's deep. You can draw from drawing out of the depths of the gospel is a really big deal. So you certainly want to make sure that you become a partaker of the gospel. Now, another addendum to this is that we become partakers of the gospel along with other people at the same time. And that's what Paul said. Watch this. I do for the gospel's sake that I might be partakers with you. When several people enter into the gospel, they're in a select group. Look at this one. Here's what Paul said. He was so earnest about getting people to respond to the gospel. And there's a lot of other verses in front of this, but to save you a bit of time, I just put this one. Watch this now. To the weak, I became as weak that I might gain the weak. He didn't present the gospel as a show-off. He condescended without being condescending, if you know what I mean. Okay? He said, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means get them saved. Ooh. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So what happens here? We not only respond and partake of the gospel, but we get to partake with a group of people, authentic. I'm not talking about Christendom. Our main issue of the day is hypocrisy. My goodness, fake Christianity everywhere. Probably the number one reason in my experience with people who I've been trying to bring to the Lord authentically has been this. They say, I'm not a Christian because there are so many hypocrites, so many fake Christians. Now, I usually respond to that like this. I say, well, would you throw away your real $20 bills because somebody's printing some phony ones? You see, the person who throws away his real 20s because somebody's got phony ones, that guy's crazy, right? The person says, I'm not going to be a real Christian because there are so many fake ones. Maybe we have to say the same thing about him. Don't let anything keep you from partaking of the gospel and joining up with a group of people, authentic followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the way, how will you know they're authentic? How do you know an authentic Christian? Jesus told us, by this shall all men know, everybody will know, that you're my disciples, because you have love for one towards another. Well, let's look at another idea of partaking. This is to become a partaker of grace. For I by grace be a partaker. Look at this now. I love the scripture. It's one of my favorites of his fullness, of his bigness, Christ's bigness. Have all we received. And look at and grace for grace. This grace is, yeah, this is everything. Watch this now. It is grace. Well, let me stop here for just for a moment, because let's understand what grace is. Grace is not God pretending you're holy when you're not. Grace is the unearned, unmerited activity of God in your life, making you more like his son, delivering you from all known sin, and making you like his son. God, it's not weak, sick, or anemic, like I've already said. It's powerful. In fact, the scripture says it saves to the uttermost all them that come unto God by Christ Jesus. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God, see? But it's all about grace. Let's look at the scripture now. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We are partakers. We get to draw from God without having to pay a bill for it. See? It's free. Well, charge. Then it causes us to rejoice and to indeed hope in the Lord. In fact, now let's go back to the scripture. Because Paul said, I thank my God on your behalf, okay, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. It's a free. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you power. What do you need? I've got it for you. That's what grace is all about. And here's what grace does. Next verse. That in everything you are enriched by him in all you talk about and all knowledge, because you see, you become a partaker of God's grace. Partakers of the gospel, partakers of those who are in the gospel authentically, and partakers of grace. Now, another one, not big on our radar scope for the day, but important enough to mention, is that you get to be a partaker of the fruit of your own labor. The husband that laboreth must be partaker of his own fruits. So you get the benefit of whatever it is that you worked at. Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about this, that in fact, you get to rejoice in the fruit of the work of your hands. You get to partake in the benefits that come from honest labor. Now, I want you to brace yourself. I hope you're sitting down. If you're not, brace yourself in standing up position. Because at first, this one's going to probably shock you. But this is a different kind of partaking. Here it is. Partakers of chastisement. Oh my. I don't know about you, but that conjures up a lot of memories of my childhood about chastisement, right? That's exactly what it's about. Look at here. If you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, ouch, 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 and not real sons. Watch them. Now, you had fathers of the flesh, okay, your earthly father, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And so the question comes, shall we not rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Shall we not take the chastisement? We got it from our fathers in earth. Shall we not take it from our Father in heaven? Watch here now. They chastised us for days after their own pleasure. But God, watch now. But he chastises us. Oh, my goodness. But he chastised us for our profit. Why? Why does God want to chastise you, even like a father does a son? Why would he do that? And here's the answer. That we might be partakers of his holiness. You see, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, even as a father does a son in whom he delights. Why? Chastening is really important. When you love someone, you want to correct them from the damage that they would otherwise face. That's what chastening is about. And so we get to be partakers of the chastening of the Lord. When's the last time you told your child, your children, your son or your daughter, how God spanked you? I don't know about you, but I get it from the Lord. Not as often as once upon a time, because eventually you catch on, right? But we get to be partakers of holiness because of chastisement. Really important. Then we get to be partakers of the afflictions. Now, I told you, you should be sitting down. The afflictions of the gospel. Now, I want you to see this lead up to this scripture, though. It's one that most people know so well. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, what you're about to catch from this is that because of this, that God has not given you fear, but he's given you power, love, and a sound mind, that's how you are equipped, if you please, to handle affliction. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of Paul, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. I don't want you to miss this. The power and the love and the sound mind that God gives you equip you to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. Now watch this. Watch the screen. Not only do they equip you to be the partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, but you're going to do it with the power of God. Show. That's why I say, you're not weak, sick, or anemic either. Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Watch it now. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now I want you to catch this one. Because if you and I will partake of the suffering, we also get the glory. And also a partaker. Look at it. Partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Let's look at some more of this. Look at this. Beloved. Beloved. Isn't it amazing how God talks to you? He uses such endearing terms of endearment. And he calls you beloved. Beloved. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much, watch this now, as that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. All right, now watch here. That when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be made glad also. Wow. With exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ. And they will do that. They'll mock you. They'll make fun of you. But remember, you've got spirit of, you got power, love, and a sound mind. Watch this now. Happy are you. Happy in suffering? Yeah. Because the spirit of glory, the spirit of glory and the spirit of God rests upon you. Because on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. I'm telling you, this is such great news. Now look at this, another little bit more. Look here now. Wherefore, holy brethren, now, let me go back to this one more time. I don't want you to ever forget how God thinks about you. He calls you beloved. And now he calls you holy brother. He calls you his brother. We've already learned how he is a friend of us, our friend, right? Oh, it's amazing how God addresses. Look at this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, you've got a lot going for you. A heavenly calling. Now, a calling here on earth, that's a good thing. I mean, some people are called to do this kind of work or that kind of work, but you've got a calling that supersedes in a miraculous way beyond all of that. A calling that's eternal, a calling that's forever, a purpose that is eternal in the heavens. Can you imagine? That's what God means by a heavenly calling. The Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, this is staggering. This is staggering. If you are a child of God, then you are an heir. A rightful heir. Look at this now. Heirs of God. Look at this. Joint heirs with Christ. Oh my goodness. Did you know you've got it this good when you partake of this gospel of this Christ? You become an heir. You become an heir. An heir of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means you're going to be in his. I mean, let me tell you something. God's running the biggest enterprise that anybody's ever known about, and in fact doesn't know about it. It's so massive. Take a look at the stars one night, get an idea. And he wants you to participate in that. Let's go back to the scripture. If you're a child of God, you're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Now watch this. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Wow. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why is that? The sufferings are nothing by comparison. We can handle them because we have love, spirit of, we have love and a sound mind. Right? He's not given a spirit of fear, but power, love and a sound mind. You can deal with this stuff. And these sufferings of this time they're zero compared with the glory that we are partaking of. Because if you partake of the sufferings, you also get to partake of the glory. Now, we're moving towards a climactic ending here because it just gets gooder and gooder, better and better. So here we are, because now you become a partaker of God's divine nature. According to his divine power, look at what he's given unto us. All things that pertain to life. You will know how to live life. He will give you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you'll get through it. You'll get it through the knowledge of him that it calls you to glory and to virtue. Oh, big stuff, the virtue thing. Now watch this. Whereby are given unto us, unto you, exceeding great. They aren't just great, they are exceeding great. They're not only exceedingly great, but they are precious promises. That by these, watch this now, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Something wonderful is going to happen inside you. Something of God is going to come in and change you. And you'll become a partaker of his divine nature. Look at here now. Not only that, but you will be able to escape the corruption that is in the world through Christ. And that's why it's off-quoted. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. You don't just get to partake of all these wonderful things we talk about. You're going to partake of the divine nature of God. You're going to be like him. In fact, that's God's highest wish for you, that you might be conformed to the image of the Son. And never forget, there's nothing unchristlike about the Father or the Spirit. And he's making you, conforming you, making you like himself, and he's going to impart into you. Wow. Now watch this one. We get to partake of Christ himself personally. Look at this. For we are made partakers of Christ. Partakers of Christ. Christ is not a mere historic figure. He's not just the Jesus who came, who was, came here and went back again. He's not just the pictures drawn by the artist. He's not just a religious symbol. He's a person. And you get to partake, like extract, right from Jesus Christ himself. Now, not everybody does this, but let's look at the scripture here. We're partakers of Christ. Now watch this. If. It's the little hinge upon which the gates of heaven swing. If. Right? If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We don't quit. We don't give up. We don't give in. We keep going. We're all in. That's why it says, well, if today you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like they did back in the days of the wilderness. This is my last point for the moment. And again, thank you. Because we are talking about some of the most sacred truths that can ever be approached by the human mind and heart. And now we're talking about you and Christ. You personally partaking Christ. Something of Jesus can flow from him to you. Of course, it's got power. But it's got much more than that. It's got love. It's got affection. It's got the ability to bless the enemies, those that curse us. It's got dignity. We haven't time to go into a great Christological study, but very worthy. But everything Christ has, he wants it to be in you. Remember the scripture? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So my question is, are you partaking of Christ? Like, when's the last time you partook from him? Now, he wanted us to make sure we did this, so he set up, I guess you could call it a ritual, but it's a lot more than a ritual, a remembrance. And he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to have these moments when you, it's just you and I, and something of myself can come into you. So look at the scripture. You know. It's about the communion, the cup of blessing. It's a cup of blessing, which we bless. Is it not the communion? The communion. The communion. Let's stop for a moment. When I think of a geometric figure of communicate, I think of a straight line. But when I think of a geometric figure for communion, I think of a circle. And watch this now. Because this cup is the communion of the blood of Christ. And watch it. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This is so sacred. Now watch this. For we being many, you and I, and a whole bunch of us, we are one bread. We are one body. Here's why. For we are all partakers of that one bread, which is Christ. And so, this is what he said. I want you to eat this bread and drink this cup as a reminder of our relationship. So that it isn't just historic, but it's functional today, and you can participate and receive from this communion. So Jesus took the bread and blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, and listen to what he said. Take. This is like partake, right? Eat. This is my body. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Just a symbol. If I had a map and I pointed to the map to London, England, that's not really London, England. It's just a spot on the map that represents London, England. So this bread, this cup, we take it. And why don't you do that? In just seconds, we'll have completed this teaching on the joy of being a partaker. But the only thing that really happened, the only thing that's really important right now is that you don't know this theory, but you actually partake of Jesus. So pick up a piece of bread, doesn't matter what kind. Pick up some fruit of the vine, non-alcoholic. Don't ever think that alcohol represents the blood of Jesus. Never. It's the fruit of the vine called by Scripture grape juice. Yeah. You take that and you go to a quiet place. And while you're there, commune. Let that something of Jesus come into you. Because if you do, you will know the greatest joy of being a partaker. Thank you for spending these moments with me. But most of all, the most important moments, the ones you spend with Him, partaking of Christ Himself. I pray this will be meaning to you. Thank you, and God bless.